Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sporting Edge. I'm here with my man, Roz, the newcomer on the show. But, you know, he's a newcomer, but he's much better at picking football games than I am. Right now, sitting at a paltry 2-10 this playoff season. It's been rough, Roz. It's been real rough.
It has been rough to watch you.
Took another beating this week, and it kind of continued the mode of a pretty crappy playoff so far. You know, I have to be honest, there's been so many blowouts and so many bad games, but I think we did get blessed with a pretty decent Super Bowl matchup, which we'll break down in a little bit. But first, I want to get your thoughts. I know this is a tough day for you as a huge Packers fan, but, I mean, the Pack just did not show up last weekend.
Yeah, I'm mourning. I know that's nothing to ever joke about, but I'm going to be in a little bit of mourning because football's kind of over for me until the first fantasy football book comes out where I can start looking again. And it was a tough loss. The Packers defense wasn't there. And what all the commentators are saying now is right. It's Ted Thompson is leaving Aaron Rodgers alone. They made a great point on saying it's similar to the Indianapolis Colts right now. Like Andrew Luck's got nothing to work with. And I think the Packers offense is better than that of the Colts. But this is like those teams when Peyton Manning was on the Colts and their offense was just so much better. Their defense didn't matter. I know they had Dwight Freeney and Mathis at the time. But this defense in Green Bay is just terrible, Xander. And I know you watched
it. It's brutal.
That.
I mean, 31-0. I mean, I can't even justify that in an NFC, in a championship game nonetheless. I mean, it was brutal to watch. I mean, they literally, that one play of Julio Jones just running and just breaking two tackles like those guys were a bunch of high schoolers, that kind of summed up the game for me. I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers ended up throwing for 3 touchdowns, but really a moot point when, you know, you're down 4.5 scores early in the third quarter. I mean, this game was almost over from the second it started. And you know what? As bad as the Packers were, I got to give a lot of credit to Matt Ryan. I mean, the guy, I think, has finally gotten to that next level. You know, threw for almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, the running game wasn't really there, but, you know, it didn't really matter. I mean, Matt Ryan, absolutely on fire. And, you know, he's really evolved, I think, into a top, I would say top 5 quarterback in this league. I remember I made a case for him a couple years ago that he looked like he could be the next big thing, then kind of regressed a little bit. I think he's finally gotten to that next step. And now he gets to perform on the biggest stage where the lights are the brightest. I mean, Super Bowl is the most watched television event in the United States. 19 of the top 20 broadcasts in the history of our country. The top ones have been the Super Bowl. So this is where the lights shine the brightest. And you know what? Matt Ryan, I think he might be ready for it. I mean, this is definitely a tall task facing the Patriots. But, you know, if there's a guy, I've got a lot of confidence in Matt Ryan now. He took down the mighty Aaron Rodgers.
Took him down.
And I agree with you. It's got to be real tough being Rodgers. I mean, the defense was absolutely atrocious. They couldn't even, you know, they couldn't even keep him in the game a little bit. I mean, giving up 10 in the first, 14 in the second, you know, it was bad. And, you know, when Aaron Rodgers is your leading rusher also, you know, I don't think you're going to win very many games, especially when you're facing the most high-powered offense in the league in the Falcons.
Yeah, and this game, a lot of things happened early on that kept the Packers out. I mean, that Ripkowski fumble in the red zone was pitiful. That
right. And that's the kind of play that changes a game.
Changed it. I mean, that game could be 10-7. The game could be 10-7, and they go, and on the fumble, they go score a touchdown. I mean, it was brutal. And the missed field goal, of course, the commentators had to say Mason Crosby was held the record for most consecutive, and boom, he misses it. I mean,
The Joe Buck jinx.
I mean, I like the guy. I'm one of the few, but I'm a big Joe Buck guy. And it's just unbelievable to me. And I think Dallas fans were like, wow, we could have used that a week ago. But you're right. Aaron Rodgers, so like you said, 3 touchdowns, 287. He had that one interception that acted almost as a punt, so you can't really blame the interception there. Put the Falcons in worse field position than had we had Shum come out and punt, a guy I don't really like either. We've never had a good punter in Green Bay. But yeah, that game was brutal to watch, and it wasn't on Aaron. And like you said, I'm pretty excited to see Matt Ryan in the Super Bowl. I think it's interesting when you get quarterbacks like this going up against Tom Brady. It'll be fun to watch. I think he's ready to go. I think Julio's ready to go. What problem with the toe? I think he's fine. I mean, he flicked Demarius Randall like with his finger and he fell down. I think it's embarrassing what happened in the secondary, and Julio is just that much of a star that he could run through wherever he wanted to run through that day.
Yeah, I mean, Julio Jones, you know, like I said last week, I think Antonio Brown in the open field is probably the best in the league, but when Julio gets a full head of steam, I mean, he's probably the most physical specimen out of all the wide receivers in the league. I mean, and I go back to that play where he broke those two tackles. I mean, it seemed like those guys couldn't even touch him. He just stuck his arm out and ran basically right through him. You know, ends up coming with 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. Fantastic game. But I mean, the supporting cast as well. I mean, Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman are, I think, the best duo in the league when it comes to running backs. I mean, they're really fun to watch. You know, I've never seen, I think, a combination of running backs hit the hole so hard, kind of, you know, anti-Le'Veon Bell. They really run with a full head of steam. But you know what, Roz? I think we've touched on the Packers enough. I think we got to leave it to rest until next season. And
there's always next year, right? Always,
yeah,
next year.
Yeah, there is always next season, but you know it's gonna be a long wait. We got a long way to go.
But you brought up Le'Veon Bell, so another loss in your book. I did go 1-1. I would like to announce that I'm resigning as the Swami for the year. I was not impressive in the NFC Championship.
The season isn't over yet.
I know, but I have to resign. After the Packers lost, I feel my bias got in the way. So I'm going to resign. I will give you my picks when Super Bowl week comes. But for now, I'm going to boast in the fact that I was right on the Patriots the entire way. That Steelers team didn't look very good. Bell got hurt. So tell me what you're thinking on the Bell front and the Killer Bees.
Well, you know what? It's tough to say whether or not, you know, Bell had a huge impact on the game. I know he's probably the best running back in the league, but the Steelers, they also, like the Packers, didn't look like they were ready to play. And you know what, I can't really, you know, 100% say if Bell was in that game, would they have been more in it? I don't know. I honestly don't think so. I think the Patriots came out way better than the Steelers, and I know Bell got hurt, but you know, D'Angelo Williams is a very capable backup. I know he's not anywhere in the same league as Le'Veon Bell, but you were right, you called this game. The Patriots came out and flat out destroy the Steelers. The Steelers looked like they had no business being in this game. Ben Roethlisberger was very average, which I said he needed to be pretty spot on for them to win this game. You know, Antonio Brown, 77 yards receiving, 7 receptions. I mean, if he's going to be your leading receiver like that, then you're not going to win very many games.
No.
Tom Brady comes out and, you know, he's Tom Brady. LeGarrette Blount rushes for 47 yards, but Tom Brady throws for 385 and 3 touchdowns. And his two leading receivers are a former college lacrosse player and a former college quarterback in Julian Edelman. So it's the Patriots being the Patriots. It's been going on for as long as we've been watching football, since we were about 7 years old, and it's been the same story almost every year.
Same story every year, and we're going to get a little bit more into that when we return. You know where we're at. We're at Sporting Edge. Come back next segment. We'll be back talking a little bit more about this Patriots-Steelers. Kind of showcase the Super Bowl, and then we're going to get back into the rest of the sports going on in the world. Thank you for following this segment. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We're here at the Sporting Edge on LibertyTalk.fm. Before the break, we talked a little bit about the Patriots-Steelers game, and I'm coming to give my 2 cents about it since I correctly picked the game. I thought it was impressive that Chris Hogan played the way he did. Xander mentioned it earlier that he's an excellent lacrosse player. But one thing that was absolutely glamorizing to me, and this was pointed out by Colin Coward on The Herd, he mentioned that Bill Belichick at the beginning, this is even before the game started, Xander, this is how crazy I knew this game was over. Bill Belichick decided to take the ball instead of deferring it. He knew right away he was going to go score on that first drive. And they did. I know it was only a field goal, but they were driving. Julian Edelman had that nice play. I mean, from that first drive, I thought the Patriots were going to win 77-0. And I know that's a little much talking about with that killer B kind of offense in Pittsburgh. But like I said last week, Ben Roethlisberger really just isn't the Ben Roethlisberger of old. And you heard it this week. He's considering career moves. And I'm kind of curious, Andrew, you think he's coming back next year?
I think he is going to come back. I think it's too much to leave on the table for the Steelers team that, I mean, I know they got spanked, but, I mean, they were close. I mean, they came down to the final four teams in the league. And, you know, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't injure his groin, who knows what happens in that game? Maybe he busts an 80-yard run and completely changes the complexion. I don't really know. But, I mean, his defense was, I think, a big surprise. I know James Harrison, you know, each year continues to get a little older. I think he's about 57 now. But they do have some young, talented guys on that team. I mean, Bud Dupree, I think, might be the next coming of James Harrison. You know, they've got some pieces to work with. You know, Cameron Hayward, I think, is one of the best defensive linemen in the league. They've got, you know, a decent secondary, not great.
Not great secondary.
All stuff that you can work with. I think there's too much to leave on the table. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, he comes out and has the game of his life. I think the Steelers might have beat the Patriots. I mean, you know, it's tough to say. The Patriots, I think, are the best team in the NFL. But Roethlisberger, I think he plays at least one or two more years because I think there's too much at stake on the table. I think I'm not going to say easily. I think the Steelers could be in Super Bowl contention for the next 2 to 3 years with the pieces they have right now.
I agree. And what's interesting is that game, similar to the Packer game we talked about, one big play kind of changed the dynamic of the game. How about that Jesse James? The catch that was called a touchdown at first, but then when reviewed, he was a yard short and they couldn't punch it in.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing about sports. You know, sometimes it's that one inch in either direction that you don't get and it ends up hurting you. I mean, I thought it was much more apparent in the Falcons game with that Ripkowski fumble. But, yeah. I mean, you look at that, if he doesn't fumble, they punch it in. It's a 10-7 game. You know, instead it's 17-0 and it's kind of like, all right, Aaron Rodgers, could start chucking the ball up while our high school defense tries to defend the best offense in the NFL. It just doesn't really work. So I agree. I mean, it's all about little plays, and it's always about, you know, the best teams capitalize on other teams' errors, and that's the Patriots have been doing that for so long. So you kind of have to play a perfect game against them or you're going to get spanked. And you brought up, you know, 77-0. I know that's kind of a fantasy score, but you know they essentially lost 77-0. I mean, you know, getting blown out by 20 points, this game was not close at all. So I mean, essentially the score didn't really matter. The Patriots absolutely annihilated the Steelers, and you know what? I think we leave our pity with the Steelers and then the Packers, and we leave them till next season. But Roz, opening line, Super Bowl, Patriots -3. Is this a fair line?
I think it's a fair line, and it's a line that kind of scares me. It means that Vegas is kind of liking the Falcons a little bit here. I know that they're the underdog, but by only 3 points, I mean, there's something going on in this game. Everyone expects it's going to be Tom Brady's fifth Super Bowl, but it's going to be close. I think that offense of the Atlanta Falcons is so scary. And I know that Patriots have the best D that this Atlanta team's going to go up against, but wow, that Atlanta offense is something right now. And I think that's why it's only a 3-point spread, and I think that it's going to be tough for gamblers come Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, you know what? It'll be interesting to see. You know, we've got about one more week. Does this line move a half point? Because, I mean, when you're at 3, that half point is it's enormous in either direction because now that game-winning field goal either wins by a half or loses by a half if you've got the Patriots. So I don't really know where the line's going to go, but I think a common misconception among, you know, lines is Vegas doesn't make lines according to the strength of both teams. They make it so they can get even money on both sides so they can collect their 10% and have a nice day. So I mean, Coming from a true bookie here, I think a lot of people don't realize that the spreads are reflective of where they think they're going to get even money on both sides, because that's how a bookmaker makes money, is through the juice. So, you know what? We're going to leave our selections till the next week, but I thought we'd take a little time. I think we got to talk about this Patriots dynasty. I mean, is it possible that this could be the best run in the history of the NFL, Ross?
It's up there. I mean, you go back to the Packers. I know, once again, I'm with the Packers. But the Packers, who won the first two Super Bowls, had come in with three championships before that, before the Super Bowl was in existence. Then you've got the Steelers, who won four Super Bowls. And then you wish you could put the Bills in there, but they lost four Super Bowls. So they're no dynasty. But, yeah, this Patriots one, really interesting, because you can make an argument that they're the best organization in sports. I'm a diehard Packer fan, but I'm not going to fight a Patriots fan over it. I'm just not. They have everything to, like, Tom Brady and Belichick going to win their fifth Super Bowl potentially? Like, come on. That's absurd. Right.
And I mean, you know, you look at some of the other biggest dynasties. I mean, you got the Cowboys with Troy Aikman, you know, Michael Irvin in the 90s. You got the 49ers in the 80s. You got the Steelers in the 70s. You mentioned the Pack, you know, early 60s. But the Patriots, I mean, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to their seventh Super Bowl together. I mean, that's just unfathomable. Seven Super Bowls. And, you know, they're, you know, really two plays away from winning, from being 6-0 in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I mean, I know that Eli Manning and David Tyree, probably the greatest play of all time, given the situation and the, you know, in the moment. I mean, I think it is, honestly. I still remember it like it was yesterday.
So do I. Great. It was absolutely spectacular. And Xander, we got to be a little careful though. Last time we called the dynasty, I think we cost Alabama a national championship. And I'm all for
it. Was Joe Buck's fault.
I know. It's terrible. And I'm all for giving this Patriots the dynasty, but I think they need to win this one. This Patriots organization and this Patriots team, they'll be at 4-3. And yes, obviously you want to have the four Super Bowls. Like, what organization wouldn't want to have that? But losing three Super Bowls, it's kind of sad. You know, it kind of diminishes. I know, because you can make there's all the people who argue against LeBron James, who is on his way to potentially a seventh straight NBA championship. You still got to win them. Everyone rips LeBron James because he isn't winning all of them. So I know the Patriots would have a winning record opposed to what LeBron James is right now. But I think this is a win for the dynasty right here. That's what we're talking about, right? We want this Patriots team to be a dynasty. Then I think they need to go out there and beat the Falcons wits.
I agree. And, you know, you're talking about – we just talked about the David Tyree play and then, you know, a couple years later, the Mario Manningham catch. But on the flip side, you look at that Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl, I mean, that was kind of a freaky play that the Seahawks decided to throw the ball on the one-yard line when they had the best power back in the league. So – it's a little bit of a give and take, but I agree with you, Roz. I think the Patriots need to win this one. I mean, because, you know, going 4-3, it does not take away at all from them being the most powerful team in the league for the past 15 years. But
since the turn of the century,
it puts a little damper, I think. You know, we're almost 500 in the big game, and it doesn't really make me win or lose this game. It doesn't really change my point of view on the Patriots. I mean, they've just been so dominant. And for a coach-quarterback combo. And you know what? I hate people when people say it's the system and they bring up the Matt Castle point when he went 11-5. I think that's a bunch of bullshit. I think Tom Brady is the system. I think Belichick is the best coach in the league. And they just found a way to keep winning no matter who's running routes or, you know, taking snaps on the defensive side of the ball for him.
Yeah, no. And so I'm glad to see that you will follow this team's dynasty, win or lose. I think you hit it right on the nail. I know Matt Castle went 11-5, but I think Tom Brady is really a major driving force behind all this. He's very competitive. That nature just drives his Patriots team. And Belichick is, I think, the greatest coach of all time. Well, that's all the time we have here on this segment. You know where to find us. We're at libertytalk.fm. This is The Sporting Edge with Wits and Roz. We will be back next segment.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
We're back, Sporting Edge, Wits and Roz. For all those of you who don't know, my nickname is Wits, last name is Horowitz. My high school baseball coach thought it was a great idea, so it's kind of stuck.
So the Wits.
Wits and Roz. Yep, Wits.
The Wits.
So, Roz, our Chicago Bulls, which I'm going to be honest, I'm not a big basketball fan, but I do cheer for the Bulls. They're in complete disarray right now.
That's and a nice Ray word John for
Rondo
them.
Instagram post. I think could be the signaling of his way out of Chicago. What were your thoughts on the post? I mean, it was long and it was seemed pretty heartfelt. What'd you think about it?
It's Rajon Rondo. What's heartfelt about that? There's 29 coaches in this league that wouldn't want Rondo on this team, and Hoiberg's one of them right
you
now.
You know what? He brought up a good point about Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, and they won a championship.
Yeah, and I was going to go into that. You don't think Kevin Garnett chewed somebody out? Have you ever seen that guy in the court? Like, my God, he chews out the back, like the back post of the hoop. He chews out whatever he can. And
but it's funny that Rondo would bring up a point like this when he seems like the perfect kind of guy who doesn't like to get chewed out, but yet he would go out of his way to say something like this. I mean, I think it kind of speaks to just the whole freaking mess that is the Chicago Bulls right now. And not that I give a crap about Rondo, you know, or D Wade or Jimmy Butler, but I mean, this team stinks. And I think a misconception, I think when we brought Dwayne Wade, we brought in Rondo, I think a lot of people thought this team was going to be a lot better than they were. But they're not. They never were going to be. And this team was never going to be any good, more than like a 4 or 5 seed in the East. I think people got that completely wrong. And now that they stink, they're like, well, we signed all these guys. You really didn't. I mean, Dwayne Wade is almost 40 years old, and he can still play, but he's not going to carry your team to a championship. Neither is Rondo. And quite frankly, neither is Jimmy Butler. I think he's a great player, but, I mean, his team is not even close.
Xander, Xander, Xander. Because here we go, Sporting Edge people. D Wade is my favorite athlete outside of Brett Favre of all time. Him, Derek Jeter, and Brett Favre. And
bunch of crybabies.
Not a bunch of crybabies. A bunch of winners. A lot of winners, a lot of rings between all of them. Anyways, you know what they're doing better in? They're better in Reinsdorf's world. Jerry Reinsdorf has done what he needed to do, and ticket sales are up because he brought in the whiner in Rajon Rondo and the Chicago-born boy, D Wade. He wanted tickets. He wasn't looking for a championship team, and I agree. So this team's in disarray, but I cannot put it on Butler, and I can't put it on Wade because the two went out there the other night, put up 77 points combined, and their team just sat there and pooped themselves. It's just, it's unbelievable. And they had the right. They are the leaders of this team. Jimmy Butler has been through hell and back with the Chicago Bulls team. Always on the trading block, dealing with Derrick Rose's knees. Joakim Noah's crazy. And now he's by himself, but they bring in D. Wade. They got Doug McDermott to shoot for Jimmy Butler. Why didn't they go out and get Korver? You know, like, it just doesn't make sense. Like,
Korver's not going to help them. They're way more than Korver away from winning a championship. They're not even close. And I don't care. I know what you're saying about Wade and Butler. They put up 77 points, but I kind of am on Rondo's side here. I don't think it's, you know, they can do whatever they want, but, you know, calling your teammates out in the media, if you want to chew them out behind closed doors and say, you guys need to fucking step it up right now, you're not playing hard enough, that's fine. If that's how they really feel and they want to talk man-to-man with their teammates, I think putting it out there for everybody to kind of, you know, shit on the younger players on this team, I think it's unprofessional, and I think it's just a microcosm of this bowl season.
There's 390 people approximately in the NBA. And like I said, and I think Paul Pierce is still in the NBA, right?
Probably.
So I'm going to go that 387 of the people in the NBA don't like Rajon Rondo. It's just like I can't take his crap up from Instagram. The guy is a cancer on the court.
I'm not saying
that
I like him either.
Oh my God.
I think his comment holds some value.
What about LeBron's comments? What do we think about that? He's pissed off. They've lost six of nine.
He's pissed off. I mean, in him saying, you know, that he wants Dan Gilbert to spend more money, I mean, you look at how much money he's already spent. You know, it's pretty close to the tops in the league. I know they had arguments about the budget and, you know, like, are you going to spend as much money as I want you to? You know, the Cavs have spent more than any other team in the NBA since 2014. You know, they got $127 million payroll and $27 million in luxury taxes. I mean, how much more do they want Dan Gilbert to spend, honestly?
I don't know. I mean, what do you think about the trade offer they received with Carmelo for K-Love? You think LeBron kind of wanted that? Wanted to play with his boy again? His best friend?
No.
You don't think so?
No, not at all. Why would he want that? They play the same position. Carmelo is a notorious ball hog. I mean, I think that's it's complete crap that LeBron would want to play with Carmelo. I don't see it. I heard I forgot who I was listening to. It might have been Big Cat on his Pardon My Take.
Great,
you know,
show.
There's a difference between marrying somebody and, you know, going out with them, having a girlfriend. I mean, marriage is completely different. You got to live with them. You got to eat with them, sleep with them, basically do everything with them. Girlfriend, maybe you see her a couple times a week, take her out for a nice dinner, you have a good time, you go home.
Okay.
You know what, I don't see why LeBron – there's a lot of players I think that could help this Cavs team. Carmelo is not one of them. I mean, there's no reason for it. If he was – you know, maybe he was a big man. It just – like, they play the same position. Why would LeBron want a ball hog who plays the same position as him on the same team? It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, that's fair. So what do you – staying on this Carmelo and Phil Jackson just being terrible, I don't think he was good for the Knicks organization at all anyways.
Phil Jackson or Carmelo?
Phil Jackson. Actually, even you want Carmelo too. Carmelo didn't help them out.
Carmelo stinks. I mean, you know.
But what do you think about this Clipper stuff? What if he goes to the Clippers?
Are they going to keep the three together?
The Knicks want to make the trade without even asking, because they can't. There's a contract thing that doesn't allow Blake Griffin to come over in a trade because they have similar contracts, him and Carmelo. And they're not asking for CP3 or DeAndre Jordan. So Austin Rivers is in the mix. There's a lot of those key role players that I think they can grow and develop in New York, and they're willing to take those players from LA and send Carmelo out there. I've heard Jim Isola, who works with their reports for the Knicks, he says it's closer than the Cavaliers thing happening. It'll be interesting.
I think that'd be much more interesting. I mean, because you look at the big three on that team, it's a point guard and two forwards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see, just without even seeing names, I could see how the pieces might fit together a little bit. But my honest opinion is I don't think really Carmelo's a winner.
I don't think so either.
That's my thing. But, and I don't really think that Blake Griffin and those guys are really winners either.
Neither do I. And we had this conversation last week, Xander. We talked about who could go help Westbrook in OKC. What about Carmelo? What if he goes?
They're going to be scoring 100 points a game, but they're going to give up about 130. my thing, I mean, honestly, I don't think you can really build a team around him, and I don't think he could really help many teams unless, you know, they're already really established. I don't really like his game that much. I mean, he's an offensive – yeah, I guess you could call him an offensive superstar, but overall, I wouldn't really want him on my team. And I think it's unfortunate that this Knicks thing hasn't worked out, because I'm sure that's a place he wants to be deep down. I mean, he was born there, went to college there, now he's playing there. And, you know, the Derrick Rose super team, it reminds me of when Vince Young came out and said the Eagles were going to be a super team that year. They went about .500. I mean, this Knicks team is a similar story. They're pretty good on offense, but they have one of the worst defenses in the league, and they're just – it's awful. I mean, a lot of has-beens, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Carmelo Anthony, you know, and Kristaps. I mean, I think he's still got a really bright future in this league.
I agree.
This team is in disarray, and it's hard to find a way out. I mean, and there's so much tension now. Like, the Carmelo trade talks are louder than the next season. That's just never good for a team.
Hey, it's New York, all about the publicity. They probably love it out there. And people are going to jam into that Madison Square Garden to see their last potential Carmelo games. I mean, come on, selling tickets. Yeah. Selling tickets out there. But the NBA, we talk about it, we're concerned about it. But at the end, the Cavs are in a little bit of a slump. They're going to get themselves out of it. The Warriors are still looking fine. Seems like Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are done feuding a little bit. I think they're gonna gel this second half.
One more thing you got to bring up.
Yes.
How stupid is Enes Kanter?
How stupid? Explain.
He punched the chair and broke his forearm.
Hey, it's like
best player on that team.
Carlos Quinton, right? When he punched the bat for the White Sox, broke his hand, was out for the season.
I think, you know, it was a chair in this case, but walls, chairs, I don't think they've ever lost a fight between a human being. I honestly don't.
They're perfect.
They're undefeated for a lifetime. Nobody has ever won. My friend last week tried to take on the wall.
Lost.
Now he's sitting with pins in his hands post-surgery. So, I mean, you can't take on the inanimate objects.
Nope.
You just can't do it.
So just like that, we're trying to set up a Mayweather wall fight. We'll see if the two undisputed will be able to beat each other. But we'll be right back. This is the Sporting Edge here at LibertyTalk.fm. We'll be back right after the break, everybody.
What's up, everybody? We're back. This is Witz's Corner now. It's my rant of the week. Super pissed off about something every week. And this week it happens to be my man Usain Bolt getting stripped of a gold medal 9 years after the Olympics. This, I want to curse, but I'm not going to curse on the radio. It really pisses me off. Nesta Carter, you know, one of the teammates on Bolt's 4x1 team in the 2008 Beijing Olympics, had a positive test, and they decided to review the test just recently, and they stripped this whole team of their medals, you know, taking away Usain Bolt's triple crown, 9 gold medals, you know, probably the most decorated track and field athlete of all time. This is absolute bullshit. I cannot believe that almost a decade after this medal was won, that they are going to give these medals back. You know, I understand what the guy did was wrong, but why did they wait 9 years to do it? Why couldn't they have come right after the Olympics, say, this guy had a positive test, we're going to test it again, you guys won, we're taking away your medals. Completely fine with that. But the fact that I'm sitting here, you know, 9 years older, and Usain Bolt's no longer a triple winner, and he didn't even do anything about it, I mean, absolute crap. Really upsets me. Usain Bolt, you know, one of my favorite athletes. You know, he's probably the most electric athlete, I think, almost of all time. I mean, you look at guys just running, sprinting, straight speed, the fastest man in the world. This guy is the best at it. He's been doing it for a long time. And the fact that, you know, whatever, the Olympic Committee, whatever you want to call them, I don't really care. The fact that they did this 9 years after, absolute crap. Crap.
Tough, Xander. I feel the mad right there. That's, yeah, I'm scared. I might run as fast as him.
Going out of my ears.
If somebody was near you right now, they'd run as fast as Usain Bolt to get away from you. But wow, yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a little rough. Poor Usain. I mean, Usain probably could have won that relay by himself. But I like the Witch's Corner there. I like the rant. I think you've cooled off. You feel good. And we're gonna go into the Roz rant, because you thought we were gonna get away with no college basketball today, but it's here. We're talking college basketball now. And the Roz is upset. Rough week for college basketball, especially for gamblers. I'm in some debt now, just like you were. Took some tough beatings this week. If you were watching college basketball throughout the week, you saw the 1, the 2, the 4, the 6, the 8. Everyone's losing. I lost. Everyone lost. And tough week for college basketball. And some can be like, Roz, why are you so mad? Well, I'm mad a lot in due part because of the money, but also because these teams needed to come out this week and show something. And I think that Kansas was looking forward to facing Kentucky today. And Kentucky was looking forward to playing Kansas today, and they dropped their games to West Virginia and Tennessee. I don't think UCLA knew what gym they were in when they were playing USC. They went up 8-0, and then they saw a corn dog vendor offering them free corn dogs. And it was over. It was kind of done with that game. I mean, I got to give credit to USC. We got friends there, me and Witz. And I got the jibber jabber. People are coming at me because I talk highly about UCLA. I told you I thought they were going to win it all. But Metu, is that how we pronounce it? The guy looks like an athletic monster. He just, whenever the ball is near the rim, he just goes up to it for a dunk. No layups. It's just like, hey, I'm going to throw this thing down hard. Not going to get the technical. I'm going to make it look splashy. And I'm going to send lines of
like
ball.
You and pickup, right?
Me and pickup. Because
all over the place?
Everywhere. 5'10". I've got great vertical jumping abilities. I'm very flashy. I'm flashy, and I'm not as flashy as this kid is.
I've never seen you, you know, see a shot you didn't like.
No, I know. And what's funny is I was watching that game, because here's the counterpart, right? There's a shot I don't like. Well, there's not a shot Lonzo Ball likes. Lonzo Ball drives to the rim. He's the most athletic point guard I've seen in college basketball this year. Maybe De'Aaron Fox. Let me apologize. I think they're both equally up there. And then the kid's actually from St. John's. I don't know if anybody watched St. John's Providence this week. But the kid from St. John's, Levette, very, very talented. Anyways, Lonzo Ball just gets to the rim and then, whoops, pass out. Just quick pass out to Bryce. We know Bryce Alford could shoot the three, but come on, Lonzo, get the 2 points, put it in. Don't go down by 12 points and expect Alford to come in and start draining shots. I mean, Alford has looked terrible. He had that 37-point game. Other than that, he's not shooting well at all. Watching him shoot, I get nervous. I'm like, oh, and then it rims out. It's just like, it's tough to watch. I don't think Isaiah Hamilton was very, very utilized, especially TJ Leaf. Absolutely never saw the ball. Just they would not go down to him. And they're winning this game when Welsh is getting the ball in the post. Had the first 8 points. And then they stopped going away. They went away from him. It was a tough game, Xander. This whole week was a tough week, college basketball. You can tell I'm rattled. I'm upset.
I feel you.
No,
but we do have a great game today, Kansas-Kentucky.
I don't even care. Neither of them are going to be the ones. None of them are going to be the one now. Gonzaga. We have to give Gonzaga the one seat. Or the number one ranking.
There were 20 games into the season. We got plenty more time.
I know, but they're never going to lose. Gonzaga's never. They're playing me and you, Wits. We go to the rec.
Then they'll lose in the Sweet 16. Who cares?
I know, but taking a one seed away from a team like maybe Wisconsin, because you know what? Out of all this, Wisconsin Purdue looked great this week. I was ripping the Big Ten, but we liked the Big Ten this week. Both those teams look really good.
Like a yo-yo.
I'm like a yo-yo. With the Big Ten, they ceased. That was going to be the wrong word. But anyways, the Big Ten looked very good this week, and their bottom-tier teams obviously aren't very great. But any Big Ten matchup is going to be a tough one. And Purdue went on the road to beat MSU. And by the way, did you watch that game, Xander, MSU-Purdue?
I did not. I had a lot of homework this weekend.
Tom Izzo, I don't know if you heard this, says he doesn't care about the fan base. He was rattled. He was very mad. He said the fans don't know anything. They're having a rough year, and Tom just doesn't. He goes, these refs weren't professional. These refs shouldn't have been in the game. I mean, Tom was blaming everybody but himself and his recruiting. Miles Bridges is a superstar, but then around him, me and you could be playing. Honestly, I keep throwing me and you in the mix. But
I got back into rec league last night, and I'll tell you this: I should not be playing in a seventh grade league.
How about fifth grade league?
Maybe.
Can toss up some shots.
I'd be taller than everybody. Hey, but finally. Right now, it was rough. I was about 0-for-3 with 3 turnovers and 1 rebound.
That's pretty tough. I'd wrecked this week, and I'm averaging, like I said, 15.5, put up a game high. My team scored 88 points. But anyways, like I said, I would be good with Miles Bridges. So if Tom Izzo does listen to this show, I don't know. I've got half a semester left of eligibility. They want me to come shoot. I'm like a John Diebler type.
Be the Alford for Michigan State.
Nah, I'm better than Alford. My God, I'm right. Like I said, John Diebler from those good Ohio State days. You know,
okay, I see that.
I mean, I've been waiting for Archie Miller to give me a call here at Dayton. I mean, I've been watching Scucci and those guys play, and everybody who listens to this show, you gotta give the Flyers a shot. They look great. I think they're a good looking team with no center. Our center he got hurt on a dunk earlier in the season. But we're still fighting. We played VCU yesterday, and they looked good. They looked good. But that's the Roz rant. We hit it off. I was mad at college basketball this week, but you know Saturday's coming up, so everything's got to be good. Or Saturday's today.
You know, I think this week will be a better week. Very excited for this Kansas-Kentucky game. Roz, you know me. I've never been a big jersey guy. I've actually never bought or owned any jersey that wasn't a part of a rec league. You know, I had a jersey party last night, and I had to wear my rec league jersey that's about 4 years old. Kind of looked like a schlub. Everybody's in their retro T-Mac jerseys, the Raptors. Everybody's got their, their Bo Jackson, baby blue Royals jerseys. You know, their Bulls, D Rose. And I'm sitting there in my my All-Star Series, sponsored by Real Urban Barbecue jersey. Looked like a schlub, just walked in off the street. So I'm in the midst of purchasing my first jersey ever from AliExpress, and I've narrowed it down to 2 choices, Roz. Are you ready?
I'm ready for the 2 choices.
My first one my favorite baseball player of all time, Vladimir Guerrero. I picked out a baby blue retro Montreal Expos jersey with Vlad's name on the back.
And the second one is, that's a tough one to compete. What's our second one?
It's tough. And the reason I'm going this route for my second one is because I've been working out a lot lately. I've gotten some pretty big arms, so I wanted a basketball jersey because I can't really show my arms. So I chose a Shaquille O'Neal throwback black pinstripes Magic jersey.
Love it. And that's all the time we have this week on The Sporting Edge. I know you want my pick on what he should wear, but that will be next week. So bring back your followers, follow us on Twitter, send us your suggestions on Twitter at Roz4Roz or
at ZandyBoy13.
Perfect. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go college basketball, and we'll see you next week on LibertyTalk.fm.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.